Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
We're waiting for another.
Okay.
Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanak. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. I'm a little upset tonight.
Oh, what's the matter?
But I had the misfortune to hear President Trump this afternoon.
Oh. Well.
Now it's time to study Torah. Got to be upset. Welcome, Malcha.
Yeah, I understand. I share your sentiments.
So we are starting Section 8 tonight.
Okay.
Section 8 in the Zohar of the Sulam commentary, starting with verse 46, and we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. L'shen yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu v'yakta l'shem yudhe bavadhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kodene aleinu ma'asei adenu kodenehu. Rabbi Elazar Azal Legabeya Tirabi Yose Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakonya Amo Chamo Kewan Techama Leya Atkin Leya Tosita Dekomra Bematon de Kofa Vitinvu El Hamo Eshar de Shamata Meavuch Haidiktiv Asa Hashem Asher Zamam Bitsam Rato Asher tziva mimei kakedem. Rabbi Elazar went over to Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakunya, his father-in-law. As soon as he saw him, he spread carpets over planks of wood and prepared a canopy under which they both sat. His father-in-law asked him if, by any chance, he had learned from his father the meaning of the verse, Hashem has done that which he devised. He has performed his word that he commanded in the days of old. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, this appears to be an introduction to the section, but I'm wondering if it's important for us to know that he spread carpets over planks of wood.
It's an indication on a physical level of what, how do you honor someone who's older than you, who's a Talmid Chacham, who's knowledgeable in Torah. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi was the father-in-law of Rabbi Elazar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing his honoring of parents, that they wouldn't sit out in the sun, and it may not have been appropriate to sit in the house. So we don't have enough information to truly understand that. And also the name, we would need to analyze the name Lacunia, because obviously the name Yah is attached to that. So that would also give us insight into why that is. But you are right, this is an introductory pasuk. Because it's actually not introductory, it's continuing the discussion from the last section, who essentially brought the same verse. Hashem has done that which he devised, but now we're being given the balance of the verse.
Mm-hmm.
He has performed the word that he commanded in the days of old. As we learned in our discussions, the last couple of days, that Hashem was in charge of the land of Israel, and he had prophesied, or we don't call it prophesied when it comes from Hashem, but he had told us that this was going to happen. And now it has happened. But now they're questioning, what is the truth? What is the deeper meaning of it? What is one of the 70 explanations for it? Verse 47. Amar le'a ha'okmuha havraya bitza emrato devaza. Por pira dilea asher tziva mime kedem deha por pira pakid la meinun yome kadma e ila e uv yoma de itcha rev lebe maktisha Bazala begin the high porpira ihi yikara dileya betikuna dileya uvazaleya. He answered, our friends have already explained it. He has performed his word. Also, he tore his hem is the literal translation of the words. His word, he performed his word, means that he ripped his precious cloak that he commanded in the days of old, means that this cloak he commanded from the supernal days of old, meaning from the sephirot of the partsuf of Atik, called days of old. On the day the temple was destroyed, he ripped his cloak, for it is his glory and perfection, namely Malchut, which is called the glory of Hashem. And it is his perfection, because through it he perfects himself, with the mochin of the illumination of Chachma. And he ripped it, means that the first 9 sephirot left her, and only the 10th remained. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, he ripped his cloak. Is that also a metaphor for the curtain of the in the temple that was torn asunder when, as well as having to do with the sephirot?
It may be, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't say definitely no, because we know there was a curtain between the Holy of Holies and the inner part of the temple.
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, you may be right, but I don't think so. It's essentially saying that this verse is applying to the reality that Malchut was separated by virtue of the actions of the children of Israel. Malchut separated from the other 9 sephirot. But the Holy of Holies represents the Malchut. And so, yes, it may have been the ripping of the temple, but my sense is the temple was destroyed because of the actions of the children of Israel. But how that destruction takes place, initially it has to take place in the spiritual world. And that can only be when the sephirot no longer are connected to each other. If Zeron Pin is connected to Malchut, there can be no destruction in Malchut, because there's a flow of sustenance, there's a flow of Shefa. But once Malchut is ripped away and separated from Zeron Pin, then Malchut becomes subject to the negative system. And that's what's being described.
But don't you think something had to show up in the physical?
It did show up in the physical. The temple was burned.
Well, what I'm
on the ninth
you know,
of August,
this
on
the maybe the
ninth
very
of August, it was destroyed.
I would think that would be the first thing to be done, that the temple curtain would have split, and then other things, fire and bricks falling and that kind of thing. But that's my opinion.
Well, in the physical world, which is an illusion, it has to appear that people's actions do the destruction. So the Romans set the fire. The fire didn't come from the Holy of Holies. Now, when we talk about Nadav and Abihu, the fire came down from heaven and took their souls. But that's not the description of what happened in the destruction of the temple. The Romans set the fire, and then it burned for 18 hours, 24 hours, whatever length of time it was described. And there were people, knowledgeable people, who recognized that by burning the temple, it meant that the children of Israel, the human beings, did not have to be destroyed. Hashem, by allowing his temple to be destroyed, torn asunder, the human beings didn't have the effect of that. They lost their connection to Hashem through the temple. We lost that. We don't feel that loss today. It's very rare that someone feels the loss of the temple, because we don't remember what it was like to make a mistake and then get it corrected just simply by bringing an animal sacrifice and being conscious of why we were bringing the animal sacrifice, and watching the shechting, the slaughtering of the animal, and knowing that that was in place of me, that change of attitude was sufficient to correct it. Now, how do you correct something that you did that we would consider a mistake? It takes a lot of hours of contemplation. It takes a lot of hours of meditation. It takes a lot of true internal contemplation in order to correct any mistake we do. It's a lot harder today. That's what we lost when the temple was destroyed. Would anybody else like to ask a question, or should I go on?
You know, Hanok, I was thinking, a lot of Orthodox, when someone dies in their family or becomes dead to them, they will rent their clothing. So because the temple was destroyed, do you think he knew what what it all meant, and that's why he rent or ripped his cloak?
But it says the hem of his cloak, so you don't usually see, well, today they wear a ribbon rather than tear their clothes, but
right.
And the high priest had a one-piece garment so as not to rent it. So it couldn't be rent. You know, it was sewn in one piece. But I may be thinking of the movie that the curtain was split. So I'd have to check that again.
But if you read the English here, it says, on the day the temple was destroyed, he, with a capital H, meaning Hashem, ripped his cloak. Now, what is the cloak that Hashem wears? It's the physical world. He wears the world as a cloak, as a garment.
But I've seen so many times that I will see something in the physical, and then it'll be a picture of a spiritual truth. But anyway, that's okay. Let me give you an example. It's not a very good example, maybe, but...
Brandy, did you get an answer you understood?
I'm sorry, yes. I couldn't hear you.
Yes.
I was speaking to Brandy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I understood. Thank you.
Okay. So verse 48. Amaleya asa. Hashem asher zamam v'kim al kachashiv l'yav ashalivno ad la yetun l'mechte amar leya l'malka dechawa leya man yikar uvkol yoma hawa dachil aleya dila yitbar wachawa mistakel beya v'takin be'eino le'yomin nata b'reya v'yargiz le'ya le'malka Nital malka ha'human yikar utvar le'ya Adahu diktivasa Hashem asher zamam. He asked, Hashem has done that which he devised. Is this the way of a king to devise evil against his children, even before they have sinned? And he answers him, it is like a king who had a precious vessel and was constantly afraid that it might one day break. So he used to watch it by keeping it under his eye. One day his son came along and made the king angry. So the king took his precious vessel and smashed it. That is why it says, that which he devised. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Seems like Hashem is acting like Job at the beginning of that verse. Because Job would do all those sacrifices because he was afraid his children were going to do something, you know, to sin in some way.
I think that's a it's a midrash, correct?
No. That's from the book of Job.
Okay. I didn't remember that Job was bringing sacrifices because he was afraid his children would do something wrong. But here, what is this verse really telling us? It's saying that Hashem told us that the temple isn't going to last. But it was very precious to him. The temple is precious to Hashem. As if it's precious to a human being, and to many human beings, it's precious to Hashem. Because whatever we feel, he feels also. So why did Hashem allow his house to be destroyed? Why did he cause it to be destroyed? Because it's better to destroy a physical something than for a human life to be lost.
Well, didn't the holiness decrease from the time of the tabernacle? That each time the temple was built, it was less and less holy. I don't know if that's a way to put it, but...
That is the way to put it, and yes, that's true, but that doesn't mean that it was still holy. It was not as holy as the previous tool. So the tabernacle was the holiest because it's closest to the Keter. The first temple was less holy than the tabernacle, but it was more holy than the second temple. And the second temple was not as holy as the first temple. And the third temple will be the holiest, more holy than that, the tabernacle, because we will have done teshuvah in order for that third temple to manifest.
Okay.
And as we know, Teshuvah allows us to take back all of that lost energy. So whatever caused the first temple to be less than the tabernacle, that will be restored. Whatever caused the second temple to be less than the first temple, that will be destroyed, restored.
And too, during the 3 weeks, we're supposed to, you know, look into ourselves to see what part we could have played in that destruction. So I think it's kind of like the example of the flood. You know, there was, after the flood was new life. Well, one day there'll be a new temple.
Correct. And for the Kabbalist, the real Kabbalist, that temple already exists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as complete as if every one of the nation had done their teshuvah. But for the individual who has completed the teshuvah of the nation and their participation in those things, the temple exists. So we're out of time. Does anybody have any questions before we leave?
No, thank you.
Our 7 o'clock class tonight will be Teshuvah for the children of Noah. We will go over the halakha of Teshuvah as it applies to the children of Noah, which most people don't really think. They don't really consider that Teshuvah is available to other people. I think it's Teshuvah is a Hebrew word, and it applies only to the children of Israel. But Teshuvah was created before the universe, before the worlds. And Teshuvah is available to the children of Noah. It was given as a mitzvah within the 7 mitzvot of Noah. And we'll learn about that tonight. I remind you to put on your calendars that starting on the 24th of August, we will, at 10:30 in the morning, be doing Sinkot, and at 8:30 in the evening, we will be studying the Tikkuni Zohar. And on Sunday morning, the 27th of August, we will be doing our class that reveals the energy of the year 5778. And on the evening of the 22nd at 7 o'clock, we will be having our Rosh Chodesh connection. I wish you all shalom, and you can see there's a lot of activities coming down and a lot of things to be doing over the next 6 weeks, or actually more like 8 weeks.
Hello, I got August the 24th. Tell me again, 10 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening.
Well, excuse me, I keep getting confused between my time zone and everyone else's. So the Slichot will be done at 7:30 West Coast time. And the Tikkuni Zohar will be done at 8:30 p.m. West Coast time. And thank you, Brandy, for reminding me and clarifying that.
Thank you. Well, I couldn't
tell me good morning. the morning time again?
The morning time is 7:30 West Coast time.
Okay, so that's
in your time zone, that would be 9:30.
9:30.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.